for this week's message in the bottle. So we welcome in Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Greetings, Eric.
This is so appropriate, it hurts.
Oh, well, okay.
I just got in from throwing some batting practice to my young charges, and all I can think of, I was lousy. I was worse than lousy.
Well, you know what? You get in the tub, you light some candles. Chris.
I need to breathe through my primal eye like Fernando Valenzuela or something, except I think, the other coach might look at me funny. He was certainly looking at me funny today, like he's trying to kill these young men and teach them how to hit. Like, I'm not even sure.
No. Toughen them up.
I'm trying to tell them how to hit, but... Oh, yeah, it was definitely one of those couldn't hit water if it fell out of a boat situation today. I'm telling you, man, there is nothing worse than like a 10-year-old just kind of looking at you, shaking their head like, oh, sir, you're a grave disappointment to all. Yeah. Like, I know.
Come on, Dad, mix in a strike.
Yeah, man, I was serious. They were like, hey, have a strike for fun. I'm like, yeah. in all fairness, I am. Some of these kids are not very tall.
Right.
Strike zone, very tiny.
Right. Small target.
And then you get the yips.
Yeah. You start thinking about it.
Yeah, you start thinking about it, exactly. So it's all Bull Durham. It's all Bull Durham. so let's move on from Bull Durham. Let's move on to something I'm actually okay at, which is wine. So just to remind everybody where we're at, we're almost into June, starting our world tour. So I'm just kind of finishing up talking about what you're going to hear about for the next 6 months. We talked a little bit about Burgundy and the idea of where a single vineyard came from and planting a single grape in a single plot of land. And then we moved on to what's been more typical in Americas, both of the Americas, which is the idea you might have a single vineyard. And the idea that that's a special plot of land that is good for grapes, but you usually very often will have more than one varietal planted there, especially if it's a fairly large vineyard. So very often you'll have some Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, for instance, from the same vineyard, things like that. And just a reminder that when you're talking about U.S. law specifically, only 95% of the fruit in a vineyard designated wine has to come from that vineyard. So it may even still be not a single vineyard per se if you're drinking something that you think it is a single vineyard. But by and large, you'll know that once you start getting into single vineyard and you know, higher end wines from most producers, though, they will let you know exactly where the fruit comes from because they're proud it came from there. Very often, if you're sourcing fruit from vineyard spots, you're paying a premium for it, so they're going to let you know that it's coming from there, and hence the price of the bottle might be higher. And so that's just, again, something to keep in mind, and I'll also remind you of the term AVA, that's the American Viticultural Area. You'll hear about that in the coming weeks. So moving on today, I just kind of wanted to talk about a hybrid and a spot that we don't world tour, but that's port. And why I like to talk about that in this month as opposed to when we talk about Portugal is because it's kind of a unique appellation in itself. It's a fairly old appellation, although it is an appellation only recognized in the EU. It is not recognized in the US. So if you've ever bought a California port or an Australian port or something like that, that's perfectly legal. No one's getting in trouble for it. And in fact, the idea of port, just to let you all know, just so you know what it is, you're fermenting grapes, and then you stop that fermentation with a neutral grape spirit, a neutral brandy called aguardiente, and that stops the fermentation. It kills the yeast, stops the fermentation, but also boosts the alcohol level. So you're talking about a 17-18% spirit, or beverage, rather, but also with grapes that still have a lot of sugar in them, so hence, you know, if you've had port, and I'm sure a lot of you have, it has a sweetness to it. So it's fortified wine. There's different ways of fortifying wine, but that's how you do port. But why it's interesting and why I kind of like to bring it up now is because port kind of comes from two different areas. So what happens is there's way upstream near the Portuguese-Spanish border, There's a magnificent, just tremendously beautiful terraced vineyard country called the Douro Valley. And that is, it runs, so the Duero River, like in Spain, where you have Ribera del Duero, the region of Toro, things like that. The Douro / Duero, depending on which country you're in, runs out through Portugal and into the Atlantic at the city of Oporto. But the grapes are not coming from anywhere near Oporto. They're coming from way, way upstream, again, like I said, near the Portuguese-Spanish border. These terraces, they are ancient. They are striking. Once you see pictures of the Douro Valley, it will stick in your mind forever. It looks just kind of like steps going up to heaven, up these slopes. It's really quite extraordinary. And there are, obviously, I don't need to tell you, since I've been blabbing on about how this piece of land is different from this piece of land, the Douro Valley itself is broken up into several parts, depending on, you know, their soil type, exposure, etc. And then when grapes, they put them on barges, because, you know, now there are trucks now, back before there were, before there were hydroelectric dams, which prevented the barges from going down the stream, it was these things called barcos. They're flat bottom boats. And, from the time of the Romans, who were the ones, obviously, who built those terraces, because of course they did, that was how it got down. And then, once it reached, there's all these port families had what they call lodges. But it's basically their wineries, and they would make the wine there. Then they would, either send it further down or it would be close enough to Oporto. And then they would store the finished product in, big barrels right there at the mouth of the river. And it's sort of an interesting, how do I want to put it? Dual purpose appellation in this case. So you got the grapes from one place, the wine being made in a completely different place. Now, of course, there is, you know, continuing precedent for that. Very often you will see people taking grapes from one place and making the wine in another, but nowhere as respected as this. Usually the idea of harvesting grapes and getting it to the winery very quickly is so that you're retaining, you know, the acidity, the freshness, the, you know, again, this is an agricultural product. So very often you'll hear a winemaker talk about how they harvested these grapes in the very, very early morning before the sun. So you retained its cool, the cool weather, no sun hit it, yada, yada, yada. That's not the case in this. This is where you're really just, it's a completely different animal, and it's a very, very interesting thing, especially since it's been around forever. It's the third oldest protected fruit in the world after Chianti in Italy and Tokaj in Hungary. It's also kind of interesting because there's over 100 varieties that are allowed. Only there's about 5 that are typically used. But of course, you know, as we've been talking about some of these appellations, and as we continue to, it'll be like, where you can use grapes, or you can use, if to pop, you can use up to 22 grapes, but over 100 is just kind of crazy. And we'll get into why there's so many different varietals in Portugal, but basically just to suffice it to say, because of the Franco dictatorship in Spain, Portugal was sort of untouched during the era of opening up to the world, and so they have a lot of grapes that no one else does, which I think is really cool. Port kind of suffers from an image problem. Obviously, it sort of seems very stuffy, something you have with silt and cheese, things like that. So it's been sales have been in decline. There have been a lot of efforts to get it into bars, things like that, making, you know, cocktails and stuff like that. We shall see. But it's just an interesting appellation, like I said, to sort of get to know and understand that even in very, very old world situations, there are interesting little asterisks and norms. So kind of cool. I see I'm running out of time. So I guess that'll be it for May. I think once we rejoin each other, we're going to be into June, my birthday month, and we're going to launch back into France and talk about. So in the meantime, everybody have a great week. And by the way, it's still warm out there, so make sure you're wearing your your sunscreen and getting your water and everything. And I'll see you out on the, either the soccer pitch or the baseball field or somewhere in between.
All right. Good luck. Ice that arm. They're going to need you again soon, Coach.
Yeah, I'm going to go study up on. I'm really just going to go buy a bunch of ice packs for the boys. I think that's it. that's the best use of my time.
There you go. Well done. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, gents. Bye bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Message in the bottle every Tuesday afternoon.